With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Frohes neues Jahr, liebe Serienjunkies. Willkommen beim Serienbiz-Podcast. Mein Name ist Hannah, wir schreiben das Jahr 2018 und wir haben mit Netflix gesprochen. Im heutigen Serienbiz-Podcast reden wir mit Mike Hastings, der nicht verwandt oder verschwägert ist mit CEO Reed Hastings. Mike Hastings ist der Director of Enhanced Content und für eure Startseite bei Netflix zuständig. Was passiert da, was geht da ab, wer verteckt diese ganzen Seiten und wie wird damit auch der Algorithmus bestückt in dem, was euch empfohlen wird auf der Startseite? Hört mal rein. Ich finde es sehr interessant. Ich hoffe, ihr auch. Wenn ihr Fragen diesbezüglich noch habt oder auch Anmerkungen, schickt einfach eine Mail an podcast@serienjunkies.de und viel Spaß. Herzlich willkommen, liebe Serienjunkies, zu einer neuen Ausgabe des Serienbiz-Podcasts. Mein Name ist Hannah und ich bin heute in Berlin bei einem sehr interessanten Netflix-Event. Und ich habe einen ganz tollen Gast mir gegenüber sitzen. Please tell the audience who you are and what you do for Netflix.
Hi, my name is Mike Hastings, and I am the Director of Enhanced Content at Netflix.
And just before, we heard a really interesting presentation that you're actually the guy, and you have the team who are responsible for the tagging at Netflix. Please tell the audience what you really do.
Sure. So Enhanced Content is responsible for all the movie geekery and TV geekery at Netflix. So we are the sort of human side of the algorithmic work that gets done to recommend titles to people. So we watch everything on Netflix, all the TV shows, all the movies, and we apply hundreds of tags to each title so that the algorithms can then pick up on those tags and make smarter recommendations.
So you and your team are actually responsible for what I see on the main page of Netflix.
Yes, most of any sort of editorial category you see, quirky, dark, British movies from the 1970s, all of those rows and the genres and the genre menus are provided by my team.
And I use Netflix quite a lot, and for me it seems as if every time I'm in Netflix, which probably is daily or every second day, that there's something different.
That's what we hope to achieve. So by giving the algorithms more to work with, so we create about 50,000 different rows that the algorithms can then pick up and they can personalize my homepage versus your homepage. If you watch more and then you log in the next day, you're going to see a different page with different sets of rows based on the things you've been watching.
And actually, you mentioned that I'm able to look for categories or search for categories. Could I actually type in, I think I've never done it, like strong female leads?
Absolutely. So our tags also are now part of search. We were seeing people search more and more on things like genres and things like moods. And so through some testing, we figured out, like, this actually works better if we put it in search as well. So now you can search on an actor, you can search on a title, but you could also search on strong female lead or horror movies or scary if you're looking for something to kind of get you out of your rut or something very specific.
And I realized that actually in the taggings that's upstairs, like in the where I have the tags in there, that they actually change as well. So you do a lot of testing there, apparently.
In the tagging sets, where exactly?
Like where I can choose for drama, romance. I've seen new categories in there.
In the genre menu.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. So we're always looking at both usage, and then we're testing to see what's the right combination of genre choices in a genre menu, because the people who use genre menus, they are very passionate about the genres they want to see in there, and so we want to provide as many choices and options for getting to what you want. For not only, you know, some people only go to the homepage and that's all they do, they look at the homepage, but some people are more like me, and on a Friday night they go straight to the movie section and they want to see a comedy and they go in there. So we keep adding more things to that menu to service that need.
sometimes I feel, and if I talk to friends, they also feel the same way, that we're actually searching a lot, like especially when you know what kind you like and what you don't. And then sometimes you search for hours, and in the end you don't watch anything. Is that a case you kind of know and you try to get rid of?
My opinion is that sometimes it's okay to search and not watch anything. It's disappointing if you sat down to specifically watch something and you're searching and searching and searching. Sometimes I just like to browse, like at lunch. Sometimes I like to browse and sort of see things that I might watch later. But our goal is when you're in that session and you want to watch something, we've given the easiest way to sort of find that thing you want to watch. And sometimes it's a little bit of a journey, but we try to shrink down that journey as much as possible.
Sometimes I always talk about myself, what I realize, but I realize sometimes that there are recommendations in there I really dislike. For example, the new Adam Sandler movies. And I've never seen an Adam Sandler movie. I don't watch comedy, but every time there's a new Adam Sandler movie, I have it like as a trailer right on top. Why is that?
Popularity is a big factor in a lot of our algorithms as well. So if there are people like you watching something, chances are it's going to get recommended to you. My view of it is that, if we provide enough context and the choices within that row, including that movie, and maybe there are some that you're not as interested in, hopefully there's something in that row that is more tailored to you, and the more you watch that stuff and the less you watch the stuff you don't like, the smarter it's going to get.
I would actually love to flag Adam Sandler movies. That would be awesome if I could just like click on it and tell the algorithm, please don't give me any more of this.
We've talked about features like that, and the most that I'll say is that we're always testing. And if we find a way to give a negative input that works for the user, and that actually works better, then we'll test our way into that. But, we're always experimenting. We're always looking for ways for people to give us input to help make recommendations better. So you never know.
So if I see little flags soon, I will be very, very happy.
If you see little flags or something, that might be something that we're always trying out different things.
Maybe you could tell us something, what the specialties about the German market is. What do Germans search for and what do they prefer watching?
Generally, one of the things that I found kind of interesting was horror over-indexes a little bit in Germany. So it's a popular genre in many different countries, but it's a little more popular in Germany. We also see that drama is perennially popular in many different regions, but in Germany it's especially popular as a genre that people like to choose from.
And other European countries, is there something special about them as well?
The one that I like to focus on a little bit is romance does very well in Italy. So a movie might show up in a variety of different genres, but when it shows up in romance in Italy, it tends to get more traction from that genre.
That is very funny that Italians watch romance and Germans watch horror.
And drama. Yeah.
Maybe to the last question. We always ask at the end of the podcast, what was your last binge, actually? Was there a show you binge-watched completely in the last couple of days or weeks?
I watched Dark. Dark is very compelling and it moves you from episode to episode. But I also like our documentaries, and I watched Joan Didion, this documentary about this American author. And that was a great rainy day documentary, and I turned it on and I thought maybe I'll watch a little of it, but I ended up watching the whole thing all the way through the end. It was only, less than 2 hours, but I love our docs and I watch them all the time. Joan Didion, The Center Will Not Hold, is in Netflix all around the world. It's a Netflix original. And she's a California writer. She wrote a lot about California in the 60s and the Mansons, and it's fascinating.
Mike, thank you so much for the tip, and thank you very much for the interview.
Thank you. It's been fun.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods
for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.